welcome to Disciple Me. I am your host, Dr. Kahala Bolton. Thank you so much for joining in with me today. I'm so excited about the Word of God today as we keep on pressing forward through prayer and just really just going in and just really just looking at the benefits of prayer, what it is, you know, how we should pray, just all these things that just really matter. Today we're going to be focusing on how prayer works. That's going to be our focus today. And so the particular scripture that I'm going to start off in, if you'll grab your Bibles, if you'll log online to BibleGateway.com, take your tablets, your smartphones, whatever you have to be able to get into the Word, because it's not just for you to listen, but also for you to follow along. And then to also allow for you to go back to study this yourself, because I think it's very important for everyone to not just hear it from people. It's a good thing that you have many messengers that is willing to be obedient to the call of God to teach what needs to be done, but we definitely have to be responsible Christians and take those words and go back and study them for ourselves. So just want to make sure that you're equipped, you have your Bibles. If you also, I always encourage you to have a journal handy so that when you get some nuggets, you write those nuggets down so that you can go back and you can study this word for yourself. And so, again, today we're going to be talking about how prayer works in the life of the believer. And so now, as we have been on this journey as it relates to prayer, we have established what prayer is, and why and how we should pray. And so you may be asking yourself the question at this point, how does prayer work? And so the first thing you must understand is that although God is all-powerful and all-knowing, he still desires your prayers. I need you to really catch that in the spirit, because a lot of people believe that or make the comment that God knows my heart. And so as a result, I think that that creates a sense of laziness in the life of the believer, because they have this mentality, well, God knows my heart, he knows what I'm going through, etc. So they don't pray, you know, so that prayer life, it lacks. So my thing is that God has established prayer as the means by which he works in the lives of his people. So it is important that no matter what our thinking is, which often at times is faulty, we have to be reminded is that God still desires our prayer, because that is communing with the Heavenly Father. So if you'll turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 22, verses 30 through 31, and I do have my chat box open just in case someone wants to chat, send me a question or something like that. The lines are open just in case if someone is listening, they want to ask a question, et cetera. But other than that, this is always going to be a live session, and then after that, it'll be ready for you to preview later on at your leisure or when you want to go back and have a refresher or a review. So let's take a look at Ezekiel 22, verses 30 through 31, and in it, it reveals the importance of prayer and how it works. And so it reads, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their heads all they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. So as we are reading this passage, you will see that the Jews had been, you know, disobedient, and God poured out his wrath upon them. And however, if there had been just one person to pray on their behalf, God would have spared them. God's word is clearly saying that he looked for someone to intercede on the behalf of the people. If there had just been just one, think about it. If there had just been just one, he would have shown mercy. but there was not even one. He did not find not one person. And as a result of that, he poured out his wrath upon them. Here's a question for you. How many times has God searched for just one person to pray for a situation and he found no one? And I really want to harp in on that because we have to be very careful when it comes to people will come and they will ask you for prayer. And you'll say yes, you'll agree to pray for them or with them. And so if you don't stop and do what you need to do right at that moment, sometimes what will happen is that you will either forget, you'll forget the person that you will, are supposed to be praying for, or even the situation. So it is very critical that if you are to pray, if you are to be interceding, that you take it very serious. And just for a moment, because it doesn't take for you to take this long, drawn-out prayer for you to intercede, but for you just to go in and to press and to pray about that situation immediately, because God has placed that person in your path because he knows that he can trust you to intercede on their behalf. So, again, the question that I have to ask is that how many times has God searched for just one person to pray for a situation and he has found no one? And so to me, the response to that can be such a great number because I know I've even heard out of the mouth of people that I associate with that it could definitely be many people that are guilty of doing that. And you may be one of those people that feel like that, you know what, oh, my goodness, I am guilty of not praying for someone or for a situation. Yes, they asked me to pray about it, but I forgot, or I didn't move at that time, or I don't even remember what they were exactly asking me to pray for. So my thing is that we have to be reminded that when God is entrusting us with the lives of his people, your prayer could be the one that changes things. And that is why it is so important for us to take prayer so serious, because God is looking for just that one. This is how prayer works. He's looking for just that one to be able to intercede on behalf of his believers. Now, the word of God says, I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And that is in Matthew 18:18. And so what this does is it let us know that I don't have my glasses on, so please forgive me. But this lets us know that through Christ, we have the power to shake up some things on earth. That's what the scripture is saying here. It says again, I tell you the truth. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. If that does not seem to you as a person of prayer, the authority that God has bestowed upon our lives, I cannot tell you what does. This means that we can speak upon some things by binding and loosing, and it's going to be done here on earth and also in heaven. That is very, very powerful. Our divine connection must be used in the right way. It has to be used in the right way. A lot of times, you will find that people abuse it. So you may be asking the question, okay, wait a minute, Dr. Hyder, what do you mean used in the right way? That's a big question that you're asking. The answer is very, very simple. Using it the right way is according to God's will. One of the things that you will know as you walk through this journey, as you go throughout life, is that you can pray about a lot of things, but if it is not God's will, it is not going to be manifested. And so that is one of the things that even with the Bible study that we're having with my church family, we have been also speaking on the topic of prayer. And so our pastor, Dr. Ward, has been talking about how prayer, you know, the purpose of prayer is that it basically allows us to share the heart and the mind of God. And it ties to God's will. So sometimes you will find that people will pray about a particular situation, and it's just something that they want to have done, that maybe they're in a situation that's uncomfortable, you know, to them or whatever the case may be. But it may be that God has placed them in that situation with a purpose. So thus far, instead of them saying, you know, well, oh, God, you know, remove this person because I'm sick of them and blah, 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 you know, the prayer, in essence, if you're praying and you, you know, are sharing the mind and the heart of God, then what ends up happening is that I'm not worried about the person being moved out of my way or out of this situation. But God, I need for you to work on me, your vessel, your servant, so that I can do what I need to do in it, so that I can stand, so that I don't get faint, so that I don't get weary in this situation. So in essence, when we are praying the right way, we're praying God's will, and then we're also praying in a matter of which it is the way that he's orchestrating and it's lining up with the will for our lives. God, he answers prayers in one of three ways. You know, we've been taught this. If you haven't been taught this, then this is here's a lesson to definitely be learned. But God answers prayers in one of three ways. It's either yes, no, or wait. Those are the three answers. There is no maybes or nothing like that. It is either yes, no, or wait. And so if you want to receive fewer no's, catch it. You must learn to pray according to God's will. If you are in a place in your life where you feel like God is not answering the prayer, you really have to begin to do some self-examination. You have to start looking introspectively to find out, you know, well, you know what, God is not answering these prayers. Maybe I'm outside of the will of God. I need for God to reveal, you know, what his will is. If I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, God show me. So your prayer should, in essence, you know, change from, you know, whatever the prayer is, but adding God your will, your way. Bottom line, whatever your will is, God, let your perfect will be done. God's word says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Let me read that one more time. 1 John 5, that's 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. The test to determine if what you are praying for is in accordance with God's word is to find a scripture that supports what you are praying about. Because one thing that I have found in my own personal Christian walk, there is nothing that I go through here while I'm here on earth that if I don't go and search after scriptures, I'm not going to find something that's going to connect it. It's just God's will. So that is the test for you. If you can really go in and find that God's word, if you can find a scripture that supports it, that's going to be the test. It's going to really help you. So if it isn't in the word of God, then more than likely it is not according to God's will. So equally important as praying in line with God's word is praying with the right motivations. And so what you will find is that a lot of times people will enter into prayer, but their motivations, you know, the driving force behind why they're doing it, it's wrong. You know, we have to have the right motives, because God is not going to move on your behalf and you're praying, in essence, ill will over someone or something evil or whatever the case may be. God is not going to you know, give you a yes if you're praying something that is not in line with your life, or he has created a storm to manifest in your life. And so what's going on, the chaos and all this shaking that's going on in your life is necessary, and you're praying saying, God, stop the storm. I can't go through this no more. But God is like, no, I got to shake you. I got to shake this thing out of you. And but you're saying, God, no, stop, 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 and he's not stopping it. Then it's not that God needs to stop the storm. God just needs you to give you the endurance to be able to last and to persevere through the storm. And so that's very important, that our motives be right when it comes to praying. There was a young lady that had shared with me how she had been praying for years for her marriage. She had been praying. And she was asking God for a marriage, like, with more emotional intimacy. And I know a lot of women can relate to that, because when it comes to relationships, you know, as a whole, the emotional intimacy is so important in a marriage. And so this young lady, she desired more time. You know, she wanted more attention and affection from her spouse. And so, you know, this was a part of her prayer. So, you know, as we talk, God, what he began to do, he began to reveal that on the surface, catch it, on the surface, her prayers were according to God's will. Why? It is certainly God's will for a husband and a wife to share emotional intimacy and have a close relationship. That's God's will. And so the Bible says a husband shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Well, the way that that gets done is through emotional intimacy. It says the two shall become one. Emotional intimacy, that clinginess, that bond that you get, and you can find that Genesis 2 and 24, but, you know, the two becoming one, that all ties to the emotional intimate side of what a woman in essence is going to crave. Her husband may not be a strong suit when it comes to emotional intimacy, but for a person to pray for that, that is definitely something that is God's will. So the reality is the husband is to rejoice with the wife of his youth, Proverbs 5 and 18. So certainly her prayers were in line with the word of God. And so you can see how looking back and looking at the scriptures where the Bible is saying that the husband leaves his father and mother and cleaves and you become one. So definitely if we're talking about emotional intimacy here, you know, in a marriage, certainly God has ordained this for the life of the believer. This is prayer working. Amen. So now, however, let's get a little bit deeper in the conversation that she and I was having, because even though that part of what she had been praying about the intimacy, as we continued to talk, there were some red flags that began to surface. See, although her prayer was in agreement with the word of God, the motivation of her prayer was not. If you will turn with me to James 4 and 3, let's read what the Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. My. I know a whole bunch of conviction just ran rampant up in here. Okay, that is the word of God. I'm going to read it one more time. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you spend what you get on your pleasures. That's selfishness. In other words, sometimes God says no because your intentions and motives are not right. See, this woman was praying this prayer because of her own needs and desires that longed to be met by her husband. But if God had granted that prayer, she may have been overtaken by the attention and affection from her husband and probably would have forgotten about God. Help me, Holy Ghost. See, it was not until she gained that same appetite for a relationship with God that she had for her husband that God gave her that emotional intimacy. And a lot of times that's what's lacking. We desire something in our spouses, but the reality is that we need to have that thing with God first and foremost. And if we don't have it with God, then we will put our focus on the man or the gift that God has given us versus putting it on God. So in essence, yes, the initial part of her prayer was definitely God's will, but her motives were wrong because she was not lining up with God. She was putting her husband first. The relationship with God, it was raggedy. It was ratchet. It wasn't what it was supposed to be, you know. So it had to definitely create a shift and a change. But when we talked about it and she began to create a change and become, you know, closer with God and really focus on the relationship with God, then God did something in her marriage and then gave her that emotional intimacy that she had been seeking. So by that time, you know, as, you know, she had prayed, I guarantee you her prayers had changed, because you cannot sit and have a relationship with God and your prayers stay the same. So for her, she was no longer asking God for her husband to have more, you know, a more intimate relationship with her. But she was praying. Her prayer changed, and it was like, you know, Lord, let my husband have a more intimate relationship with you. Because that's the key. If your spouse don't even have an intimate relationship with the Father, with God, how in the world do you think he is going to have an intimate relationship with you? So she had learned through her own walk with the Lord that if her husband had a stronger relationship with God, he would then love her even more. Because when you love God with all your heart, with all your being, well, I'm talking about true intimate relationship, there is no way for you to be in a relationship or in a marriage and for you not to be consumed by the agape love that will be present, because that man is doing what he's supposed to do and you are doing what you're supposed to do. This same lady, she goes out and she shares her testimony of how God worked in their marriage and brought them closer together. But the blessing behind it is that she's able to share that she had to change, her prayers had to change, because she had to make it a God thing. God, he got to love you. In order for him to truly love me, he has to love you. So, God, let him draw closer to you. Let him have a more intimate relationship with you, you know. And that's what a lot of our spouses, you know, need. If you are having a disconnect, you know, even as you're going on the pathway, you know, you're being engaged, whatever the case, if there's something that's going on there, your prayers have to change. It is not about your needs, the selfishness. It's not about your needs and all that. That person needs to make sure that they're lining up and having that intimate relationship with God. Now, you must understand that prayer is not getting your will done in heaven, but it is getting God's will done on earth, because it's already done in heaven. Whatever we need is already done in heaven. So when we pray, it's not about having our will done here or in heaven, but it's about getting God's will done here on earth. That's the release. It's the manifestation. So when you pray, you open the door for God's will to be manifested in your situation. You're saying, God, you got access granted. Come in here and do what you need to do. So you must keep the channels of prayer very clear with God by praying according to his word and praying the right motivation. The only motivation for your prayer should be that God would receive glory. That is the only motivation that you should have for your prayer, is that God will receive glory. And so ask yourself, will God receive glory for what I'm praying? That will help you to literally have a conviction about what you pray. Will God receive glory from what I am praying about? And then also don't forget to go find a scripture to support what you're praying about. And I'm not talking about try to find a scripture and to tweak it and try to make it fit, because you can't add to or take away from God's word. So when you find a scripture, you make sure you read the before and the after, before just that particular verse in that scripture, because it has to all come together. You know, God receives, you know, the glory once this young lady changed her prayer. So the question that I have for you is, there may be some things that you've been praying for. Is God, you know, receiving the glory? Do you need to change what you've been praying about and how you've been praying about it? One thing that I do know is that fasting as you pray also opens the channels between you and God, because fasting involves abstaining from food or other things like Facebook and, you know, social media stuff and, you know, playing video games or watching all these trash reality TV shows or whatever. So fasting, it involves abstaining from some things for a specified amount of time for a spiritual purpose. And so, but we'll deal with fasting in more detail later on. But fasting is so key, because when you combine the two together, it really truly opens up the channels between you and God. And just like the word of God says, is that some things can only, you know, manifest themselves through prayer and through fasting. So as we get ready to close out this section, I have four questions that I want to pray for you. I want manifest and really meditate on these. These are the reason why I asked you to grab your journal. We've talked about a lot here today, so want to make sure that we kind of revamp and go over some things. The first one, how does prayer work? Out of everything that we've just talked about, ask yourself the question, how does prayer work? What did you comprehend from that? Number two, if God is all-knowing and he already knows my situation, why do I need to pray? You need to answer that for yourself. If God is all-knowing and he already knows my situation, why do I need to pray? And number three, why is the motivation for prayer just as important as the subject of prayer? One more time. Why is the motivation for prayer just as important as the subject of prayer? You need to ask yourself those to make sure you really comprehend these. And the last question that I have for you to do an introspect and to examine yourself, based on what you have just learned with us going through this session together, is there a prayer that you have been praying that you could change to align more with God's will? And if so, how should it be changed? I'm going to read that one more time. Based on what you have just learned in this session, is there a prayer you have been praying that you could change to align more with God's will? And if so, how should it be changed? I want to thank you so much for joining in today with Disciple Me, where we have focused with Pray Woman Pray on how the prayer works. And I want you to tune in on tomorrow. And we'll probably start tomorrow at 9 a.m. Central Time, and we will be talking about how our prayer life can be hindered. And so that's going to be really, really good. And definitely have your Bibles and everything, because we're going to touch a lot of scripture with that. So I pray that this has been empowering. Please take time to go back and study this and definitely share it. And then if you need to, come back and listen to it once it's released. So thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to our time tomorrow as we will talk about the topic of how our prayers are hindered. I am Dr. Holly, your host, and you are here with us on Pray Woman Pray, and this is our Disciple Me session for today. Be blessed and be a blessing.